this meeting to order with 5 past now.
He thinks he got like 20 minutes.
You have an agenda that has been circulated. We would like to add to it 13-1, the naming of the street in Port Mattoon, Port Jolly. Are there any other additions, deletions from the agenda? Hearing none, I'd entertain a motion to approve it as amended. Councillor Inglis moving, Councillor Fisk seconding, all in favour, it's unanimous. Thank you. Now the first item on the agenda is the recognition of two fire chiefs who are hanging up their spurs. Mr. Anthony is not here at the moment, so I'll move straight into recognizing Fire Chief David Lonis from the North Queens Fire Department. And actually we've seen a lot of David in the last few years here as we've been working towards the capital funding program for the fire departments, and David was very active in that. But even more impressive is the work that he has done to build that great edifice in the center of Caledonia, that fire department business hub. I'm not sure if I declared that I was running for council or if I was just thinking about it, but Councillor Inglis whipped me off to breakfast in Caledonia, and I'd hardly got the last bit of fried egg in my mouth before Fire Chief David had me in the garage saying, "You see up here, there's only 2 inches for the fire truck to get in, see over here." So certainly that got my attention, and we were able as a council to be very supportive of that. I'm very proud that we did that. But David deserves tremendous commendation for that, and also for the 6 years that he was fire chief, because you literally don't have a moment to call your own. You know, that when that whistle goes and the alarm goes, then you're out at the service of the public. It's a tremendous contribution that people make. So David, come forward, please, and accept our congratulations, if you will.
If I know the chief, he'd probably like to make a 15 to 20 minute speech.
Yeah. Could you keep it to 10? That's one of the rules, David.
Yeah. We won't worry about tying up council's time.
David, congratulations. Heather's going to do photographs, if you... David, thank you very much. And Bart's coming too, for the Liverpool Advance.
Got to get North Queens in there.
Your hands are hot, David.
Thank you very much, sir.
Good, thank you. Thank you very
you
much.
All. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Just in case Fire Chief Merrill Anthony doesn't come and that we make a presentation to him at home or in Charleston. He has been Fire Chief of the Charleston Fire Department for 45 years, which is an amazing contribution. And he's now handed over the mantle to somebody else. And it's really a shame he's not here, but certainly a very, very significant contribution, not just to the people of Charleston, because we have a pretty integrated fire service within the region of Queens. So it's a contribution to the whole of Queens. So I hope Merrill can make it at a future date, but if not, we'll do it, make the presentation at home. Thank you. The next item on the agenda is Mr. Milton, who would like to talk to us about the Liverpool to Somerville Trail. So if you'd like to come forward, Mr. Milton, here, and we try and make these presentations about 10 minutes. I think, Council, you all have copies of the property map in the area in question, so that it makes it easier for Mr. Milton to describe to us why the area and the situation. So the floor is yours, sir.
Okay, thank you, sir. Good morning, Mayor, Council. My name is Keith Milton. I live at 143 Bob Bodenboy Point. Would this council consider installing some sort of barricade at the entranceway to Meadow Pond Walking Trail in some attempt to discourage use of OHVs? Also at the end of the trail of Bog Road in an attempt to keep said traffic off Bog Road.
Is that all that you, would you like to describe the situation a little more to Mr. Milton?
Well, it's been a little over 4 years now that I've been trying to get some result from this. Traffic just runs Bog Road, I guess it's an entitlement. And it's been going on for so many years. Just recently, I had a four-wheeler come down Bog Road, a little boy, about 10 years old, maybe on a three-wheeler. And I asked the gentleman, what are you doing here? He said, it's a free country. It's against the law, the Highway Traffic Act, and it's against the OHV Act. And I don't understand. I don't know. I can't ride my motorcycle on that road without proper, and yet other people seem to think they can. And it's, I don't know. I'd like to have some way to have it discouraged. I hear people saying it happens here, it happens here, and somewhere else. Well, it's not my problem. My problem is Bog Road. It's not safe, as far as I'm concerned. We walk on Bog Road when people are driving vehicles which can't be identified because they have no license plate or insurance. They don't have to because there's no enforcement of it, or very little, if any, because they're doing it. I don't know. It's frustrating.
So is the traffic?
Excuse me, but I just say because the Mill Pond Trail, because people are able to evade lawful prosecution by escaping onto that trail if they were being followed by the RCMP, and then it's frustrating for the DNR because they've tried to block off their half, but traffic keeps going down through. There are boulders on this side of the road, but I'd say dereliction of duty or people not going back to make sure that what they've done is appropriate because vehicles simply drive around the boulders and nobody ever goes back to check to make sure because it's there and it can be seen that there's somebody riding around them. And then they go down and they ride across Bog Road and go down into the other part of the trail which the DNR is trying to resolve and they can't, and they're going down Bog Road.
So. Well, leave it with us then, Mr. Milton. Does any member of council have a question?
So is it part of the old tracks is the problem?
Yes, it's part of it's the whole trail here, which is supposed to be a walking trail. In fact, when I moved here in 2012, I didn't know what this trail was. It took a year to find out what it even was. And it took till 2014 to put signs on the trail. Well, what happened between 1991, when the trail was designated, and 2014? There were no signs, there was no enforcement. There was a meeting here in 2013 to have the trail opened up to, I thought, you already have de facto permission to use the trail. Why are you wasting council's time when you've been running the trail for 23 years? Now you want permission? I don't know.
Anybody else have a question, Mr. Milton? Yes, Mr. Fancy.
I think from the municipality's point of view, where everything all comes, there's multiple ways. You can come up from the old park down below and there's roads in, but everything all centers from the municipality's point of view on their land to the Bog Road to just, on the trail, the old trail, to just before Bog Road, because that's what our diagram shows here. We own that. So we could, at the end, of just before Bog Road, put up some kind of a blockage that could.
Well, I would argue that too, because if there's a sign at that Meadow Pond Trail that says leave your footprint only, what does that mean? Does that mean ATVs aren't allowed in there? How can we invite people to walk someplace that's not safe to walk? That's my opinion there too, but.
Any other questions, Mr. Milton?
No, yes? just a comment, because I've talked to Keith before, and it's nighttime traffic. It's not just you know, and...
No, it's not like, nobody runs out of like...
No, I meant the four-wheeler.
No, they don't.
They're not doing night anymore, just through the day?
No, I don't see anybody there at night, no. It's only during the day.
Just during the daytime? And the speed and that they go, and then they go down into...
It's not just the speed, it's because they're not allowed to be there. It's because they have no way to be identified. It's a question of what are you doing here? It's just against the law and it shouldn't be allowed to...
So basically this section that runs back...
They run back in here.
Back in here.
Yeah, and they don't just cross Bottle Road, which they're allowed to do anyway. They run the whole length of Bottle Road.
Because then they go cut back into...
Which is private property, which is allowed to be on, I understand, without written permission. They're allowed to be back there either. So, but back there's not my concern, I don't care. It's not my property, it's not Bottle Road, it doesn't concern me. But the whole thing does concern law enforcement.
And you have, and I know you've made multiple attempts with the RCMP.
Yeah, multiple attempts. I mean, anybody who wants to go and look and see my complaints is free, as far as I'm concerned, to investigate and see what has been going on. Because what I think needs to be done is investigation of the truth. That's what needs to be done.
Councilor McLeod.
Well, my question was answered about the contact with the RCMP, and I know, Mr. Milton.
We were down twice yesterday.
Yeah. So did you say there's boulders across there now, and they're just not adequate, or there's nothing?
Well, they just ride around them. ATVs are not going to be in the law. That's why they need to be enforcement. You can't put down boulders and walk away, because they just ride around them. And it's quite obvious that's been happening, and nobody's been checking to see, did I do the job properly? Is what I've done adequate? No, it's not.
Is there any way of identifying the...
No, they have no license plate. There's no license plate, but even identifying it by me, it's not going to lay charge
on
the RCMP.
I mean, I'm just saying in general, anyone could
identify them. They go past their house. I've only got a small area in front of the house. I can see it. I've got trees on one side right to the road, so I can't see down there.
Mm-hmm.
I've got trees on this side, so I can't see down there.
Mm-hmm.
No, I wouldn't know where they were. No.
Yeah. Okay. Thank
you. Councilor Fisk.
Just a quick question. Has the RCMP ever charged anybody on that road?
Well, that's, you know, I see this RCMP officer here talking about picking up how many litter bugs have been fined. I find that that motorized vehicles running on a public road is a little bit more serious than litter bugs. But no, I've never heard tell of anybody being charged or even anybody ever being questioned. Well, yes, I did. I'm sorry I did. And it has fallen back on me because a certain individual who blames me for calling the RCMP, who I wanted to do some work on my property, is blaming me for calling the RCMP against him. I wouldn't know him if I fell over him. But I saw what I considered to be illegal activity on the road. But this gentleman was riding a motorcycle, which is dual purpose, which I have no idea what a dual purpose motorcycle is. So I figure if you push the envelope and it bites you on the backside, whose fault is it but yours? If it looks like a duck and quacks like a duck, but he blamed me because I called the RCMP.
Aren't motorcycles allowed on public roads?
Pardon?
Motorcycles are allowed on public roads, are they not?
Well, this was a dual use motorcycle.
A dual use.
But I don't know. It looks like an off-road motorcycle, but it's allowed to be on a public road. So that's why I said, if you push the envelope and it bites you on the backside, it's not my fault, it's your fault. And if the RCMP didn't recognize it being a dual-use motorcycle, why would I? He wasn't charged because it was determined it was dual-use and allowed to be on the road.
Thank you.
Okay, are there any further questions of Mr. Milton? If not, thank you, Mr. Milton. We're looking good.
Thank you.
Are there any petitions to be tabled today? Then that brings us to item 5 on the agenda. Are there any questions, comments from the public? You know the rules of the game.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Leon Robinson, College Street in Liverpool. First of all, I was just a bit surprised there when 15.1 was added, renaming the road, which is basically Robinson's Hill area, over Port Jolly, right as born and grew up there. And I see that the surprise that it's going to be called Maple Hill Drive is always known as Robertson Hill, that section there coming up there. And I understand from talking to the councilor from the district, Councilor Norman, that contact had been made with my two cousins that live there in that area. And apparently they're fine with that particular name. I just thought that it might be something a bit different. I just wanted to make a comment on that here. The other thing, so you have an application under 10.1 there going to the apply under the fund there for water and sewer projects. My only comment there is I think it's great. It looks like good cost sharing if you can get it approved. But I noticed that the deadline was yesterday and we're getting it today. Is there any problem with getting it in didn't get it in on time, Mr. Mayor?
That was all looked after by staff, and they are aware that the motion to support this is coming in today. The information for the application was late getting to us, so the government is quite happy with what we're doing.
And could I respond to the road thing?
When we come to discuss it, I think it's the time to talk about it.
Oh, it's just easier to answer it right now.
Okay. Just one other comment, if I could, Mr. Mayor. Back a few years ago, I believe there's a presentation made here to council, I know it was, I believe, to our Kiwanis Club, about from the Chamber of Commerce with respect to the possibility of having a bandstand down in the park, right here, park, here where we had all these activities on the weekend. And I was wondering if council has discussed that any further. I know it's nothing come before council, but I was just thinking of the possibility of putting one down there. We have a large area there, and it certainly got used on the weekend and so on, but for the majority of the year, there's not too many people around there. And I was wondering if that might be...
The impediment to it has been the cost of construction.
Pardon?
The impediment has been the cost of building the bandstand.
Okay. It would be too expensive, what you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
I mean, it has been discussed in budgetary deliberations, but it's a high ticket item.
I know there's one down in Brooklyn, which is very nice and in a nice area there, just across from the Bowler Wharf there. And I was thinking of something in that something like that.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, Mr. Dagley.
Thank you, Mayor Clark. David Dagley, 9 Metapon Lane, Liverpool. During the successful privateer days, I found it more convenient to walk to town, and the route I took at times was down along Union Street, of course. I noticed a smell at the lower end of Union near the Metapon Brook, and upon investigation found that we have a malfunctioning septic pump system there. And I'm wondering if perhaps you could update us as to when that may be corrected.
Does anybody know, did you know anything about it? No, we can't update you, but we will investigate and we'll make sure that it's looked at very quickly, right, Richard?
Yeah, I would appreciate that very much.
Yeah.
Very noticeable. The other item, I'm wondering if perhaps you could advise of the value of the previous year's operating surplus account.
The value of the previous year's operating surplus.
So
the balance at March 31st, 2016. Operating surplus general?
Yes.
We would have been in the range of about 900,000, I would say, going into the year end, and this year's year end is, the audited statements aren't complete yet. So the year end for this year and what we will add to that has yet to be finalized.
Okay.
Is that your question? Was it because you're talking accumulated surplus?
Accumulated.
Was that your question, the accumulated surplus or the actual surplus on the one-year budget?
Both would be appreciated, and I think Jennifer's...
So she's given you the answer on the accumulated one. I just want to make sure that it's clear, not just for you, but for the media, too, that we did not end the year with $900,000.
No, I understand.
No, it's accumulated.
Yeah, it's accumulated.
Going into the year.
Yeah.
I mean, and I do understand that as the audited accounts come through, it will be more refined, the more exact.
Yeah.
It'll be coming likely to the first council in August.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Now, the other comment I'd like to have, under 16.1 later this morning, there's a recommendation for $2,000 in funding to the Queens County Museum, and I'm very pleased to see that council is indicating support for the museum. I would hope that councilors later in the morning would have some interest in looking at that amount and seeing if they have an interest to increase it. Thank you very much.
Are there any other guests?
Thank you. Kim Williams, Bar Street, Liverpool. I'd just like to say this is the first time we've been here for Privateers Day and participated in it. And I'd like to say a huge thank you to Councillor Freilich and also to Ms. Pyle as well, Councillor. It was fantastic. We loved it. And the international part was a huge success from what we, just being there all day for 2 days, hearing everyone's comments everywhere. It was fantastic, and thank you very much for all your work and everyone that helped.
Okay.
Thank you for that. Thank you. Yes, Mr. Cox.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, members of council. I would like to compliment you on item 10.1, that we are going after some of these infrastructure dollars that are available. Hopefully we'll be successful in getting approval of this. It will certainly alleviate some of the problems that have been ongoing for a number of years. Also, I would like to comment on item 16.1 in regard to the Queens County Museum and their grant request. I have only one concern, in that it's coming from last year's operating surplus. This, I think, reinforces the debate which has been going on for a number of years, that organizations who are dependent on other government funding should not be competing with other community organizations in order to get grants to complete their year's operations and their budgets. I feel and have felt for a number of years that this should be coming out of economic development and be controlled by that particular department. And the decisions made by our CAO, our Director of Finance, and the Director of Economic Development. Once the budget is approved by Council, then it shouldn't be necessary that you come back on each individual request, and that these people can be assured that when they make their request, that any questions that are left outstanding can be dealt with at that particular point in time, and when it is presented to Council, the questions are available. Coming from reserves of any kind, to me, I do not appreciate, as my idea of reserves, it's a rainy day fund that deals with the unexpected, and those things that are of emergency nature and this sort of thing that has to be dealt with. I know that the minds are probably made up, and you have every right to make that decision, but I feel that if it can't be dealt with this year, that certainly a recommendation or something should be going forth to the new council, that we deal with these in a business-like manner through the Department of Economic Development and Tourism. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Cox. Any other person, anybody else have something they would like to say to Council, bring before Council? If not, we'll move on in the agenda. Thank you. Item 6, I would entertain a motion to approve the minutes of the last Council meeting, June 14th. Councilor McLeod moving, Councilor Frelick seconding. All in favor? It's unanimous. Thank you. Under economic development item, we have nothing under dangerous and unsightly premises. Deputy Mayor Norman, we have a motion under economic development.
I so move that the Council of the Region Queens Municipality approve the housekeeping amendments and revise intermunicipal agreement as per attachment of 1 of this report.
Is there a second of that motion, Councillor Inglis? Discussion? Yes, Deputy.
No, just upon review of them, because we had this in our last packet, but we didn't have the changes, and they are all indeed just either date-related or housekeeping-type changes, so therefore the crux of the agreement remains the same, with just some minor changes.
The only one thing that is different is the transfer of authority for the Audit Committee from the Liaison and Oversight Committee to the Board of Directors.
Would you repeat that again?
The authority for the Audit Committee has been the responsibility of the Liaison and Oversight Committee. It is now transferred by this to the Board of Directors.
And the province would have, because they had set that up, that it was supposed to be the liaison committee, but they're okay that it goes to the board?
Yes.
My point isn't germane to the vote, but after the vote on this, can I have just a moment on the rent?
You certainly may.
Thank you.
Any further discussion of the amendments to the rent agreement? If not, I can take the question. All in favor? It's unanimous. Thank you. Yes, Councilor Ayers.
And I'll call on you as well, Mayor Clark, because you were in attendance. We had the rent annual meeting, and one of the items that I think is going to come down from the mayors to their councils that, and correct me if I'm wrong on that, Mayor Clark, that the council representation on the rent was intended to be part of its building process to then be handled over to the business community. So we're expected council by council to
withdraw.
Sort of agree to withdraw. Where's that going to come from?
It will come, we'll bring it forward at a motion, as a motion at a...
At one of our councils.
Yes, because
okay.
We have to approve that. But the background here is that as the REN was being formed, and Deputy Mayor Norman in particular will remember this, there was real consternation about the control of it and how it would operate and real concerns. So we being the Shelburne, Lunenburg, Queens counties, felt that we should have political oversight of the REN. We were unique in that position. No other REN has elected people on its board. And so as a result of that, and as part of the negotiations between the various municipal governments, it was agreed that there would be two representatives from Lunenburg County, one from Queens, one from Shelburne County, on the board. I understand quietly that in some instances that has been an impediment to business moving forward, and that really that everybody is comfortable with the way the REN is operating and really impressed with the high caliber of business people that we have on the board of directors. So the recommendation is coming, I don't know if it's formally there with us yet, but the recommendation will be that the elected people no longer serve on the board of directors, and but they'll still be there, represented on the liaison and oversight committee, but not on the board. So that's what, and yes,
yeah. And if the REN will just work so much better. The region of Queens, we were not particularly interested in having to have an elected person. However, it did come from some other areas, and it was the only way that REN was formed, was at the placement of those elected people. But it was done on that interim.
Yep.
And elected people just shouldn't be on that business board. That business board is about business. It's not about elected people and their views about their own, looking after themselves and their own areas.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Any questions? Just.
I know in the past, when municipalities make a financial contribution to any boards, and similar to the REN, but we do have some input, but not on the board. You're saying that we do have input from another aspect of the REN.
Yes, the board of directors is overseen, and I don't want to overemphasize that word, by the liaison and oversight committee.
Okay, which are members.
And which are all elected people.
So we do have a
yes.
Power there.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. Is there any other questions or comments on that? The meeting, I think, went well, Councillor Inglis. And
I thought so. Yes.
And the REN seems to be operating.
Yeah, it's ready to go. It doesn't need us there anymore.
Yes.
If I can just add, I did attend a local session. They were having sessions with the CAO of the REN. Sorry, I can't remember her name.
Carolee Reinhardt.
They had a strategic planning, I think that's the word they used at that time, here at Queen's Place, and it was well attended by some of our local business people. And we did share our points of interest and the priorities set with our REN, and I think we made some really strong points. So I think it's good to have those type of sessions as well with our business community.
They have some really strong business leaders from the three counties. It's impressive. And actually, Carolee is from Brooklyn originally.
Yes,
I think she lives in Home Bay. Very competent person.
Very knowledgeable of our areas.
Yeah.
Her father was the customs officer.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
And her mother worked at the Adult Service Center, retired from there.
Yes.
But is she not the CAO of Chester?
No.
Oh, she's not.
No, Tammy Wilson is the CAO of Chester, who had previously been with Myrtle.
Carolee Reinhart worked with the Provincial Immigration Programs.
And yes, and she also worked with the Economic Development and Tourism Department.
Just a little history here.
Okay, anything more on the REN?
Question.
Question, all in favor? It's unanimous, thank you. I forgot to take the vote, thank you, Deputy Mayor. Anything under corporate services?
Just an update on, I met with the fire chiefs 1st of June, roughly, and to go through quite a long agenda on different issues. We brought up the audit that we had prior, had done a couple years ago, and we're moving forward in a good way with the fire departments, and they actually bragged up the recent weeks how close we work with them. So that's all I have to say today on that. I just wanted a little update on that, how well we're working with the fire departments.
Great.
How the fire departments are working with us.
Thank you. Any comment, any question of Councillor Fisk? If not, I move on into item 10. Councillor Waterman.
I have one recommendation, just a small one. I so move, it is recommended that the region of Queens Municipality submit the proposed Brooklyn, Main Street, and School Street sewer and water projects estimated at $3,467,439 for cost shared funding under the Clean Water and Wastewater Fund.
Is there a seconder for that motion? Councilor Fisk seconding. Brad, would you give
sure.
us a bit of background, please?
This program came up rather quickly. We had to pull these applications together in about a week, week and a half. The program is for water and sewer only. No other categories are eligible. And the funds are 50% federal, 25% provincial, and 25% municipal. Three projects under application are the Brooklyn Sewer and Water Project, School Street, Water and Sewer, and Main Street, Water and Sewer, prioritized in that manner. Brooklyn, that is a continuation of the current phase on Markland Street, plus the installation of a sewage pump station and approximately 600 feet of sewer and water on Shore Road. The second project, an interesting project, is School Street. And this is a section from Main to the four-way stop up on Waterloo. And it's the installation of new sanitary sewer, storm sewer, water main, curb gutter, and sidewalk. It's an attractive project for the funding bodies because it will enable immediate treatment of sewage from Queens General Hospital, the RCMP station, the clinic, and approximately 20 residential properties south of the four-way stop. Importantly, it will also enable future treatment of sewage from properties in the lower Waterloo Street area, that's Bartlett Avenue, those areas, properties down there. This, of course, with a future project with a pumping station to pump the sewer back up to the four-way stop area. Currently, these properties, which would be the hospital, the RCMP, and those down lower Waterloo Street, their sewage is discharged to the Liverpool Harbor. Treatment isn't possible because School Street lacks the piping necessary to convey that sewage to the sewer treatment plant. It's just not there. Okay. Lastly, the third project would be Main Street project, and that's a section from Reese to School. We did some of it here last year and a few years in advance of that. It's replacement of sanitary sewer, force main, installation of storm sewer, water main, concrete curb, and sidewalk, curb gutter and sidewalk. A portion of this underground dates not from the last century, but the century before that, just to put it into perspective.
So you're saying it's got quite a
three centuries.
That's right. Not protected by heritage, is it?
Yeah, it should be. We'll save a plate.
Artifacts.
Also, I'd like to note, as part of the application process, we were required to have these three projects undergo a cost analysis by a third-party independent consultant to show value for money. And the findings came back and indicated a 40% cost saving by work undertaken by Region of Queens with our own force. So that's the savings we have when we do our own work. Now, we're talking $3.5 million worth of work. 40% of that's pretty substantial.
Wow.
That's like a free project.
Right.
Yeah. Yes, Councilor Inglis.
Mayor Clark, that's the kind of things that I don't think we get out there enough, is the how efficient our works crew has been, and
I agree.
And the capital guys in saving us money, and I hope we can find ways to share information like that, because that speaks from the guy at the top at his desk drawing out the plans to the guy with the shovel. I mean, that's and has a real benefit to the rest of us as taxpayers.
Also, our crews have a really significant reputation for working with the community as they go through, and with the residents as they go through these type.
And as case in point, I mean, I had those guys outside my office for what, Brad, 2 months, a couple of summers ago, and they couldn't have been any more accommodating. It was, you know, it was nice to have a smiling face when you went in and out of work every day.
And Councilor McLeod's about to come in and tell us about Brooklyn.
Exactly.
Same
exactly.
I'm sure.
Actually, I was going to make a comment with respect to the 40% saving and the benefits, but it's the job creation, too, for our local folks.
Sure.
Exactly. It's money spent in Queens.
In Queens, for Queens, and stays in Queens.
You know, with Queens people and so on.
Absolutely, yeah. And I'm excited about the Brooklyn project again, Brad. As you know, it's
going
starting.
Well.
Yeah, thank you.
Jennifer, you should be giving Brad a gold star or something.
Thanks for saving me.
Yes.
Councilor Waterman, you'd like to get in here, would you?
Yeah, just a comment. Like the 40%, that's just not your estimate. That's like another engineering firm's estimate.
That's right. I mean, they look at a project and they price it out based on recent tenders for the exact similar kind of work. I mean, and he came back, actually called me and said, "You sure you got enough money on those projects?"
Yeah.
And I said, "Yeah, we're fine. That's what we price them at, and we, you know, we always stay in budget." So,
it's not a number.
So that's
that
real money. That's
that
real money.
That brought out of the air.
That's real money.
I think Deputy Mayor Norman, and then Councilor Fisk.
Brad, it's so exciting to hear about the school, about the school street.
Yeah,
that hospital has been a big challenge, and it's just great. And I know, I think I saw a couple surprise eyebrows when you said discharging the harbor, but the municipality had done some tests with the federal government.
That's right.
And because of the depth and the flow in that harbor, we were allowed to discharge and had been given a
30-year.
That's correct. And that was probably, what, 10 years or
so?
So, ago?
Really, we could continue for 20 years under federal law discharging in that harbor. So this isn't because we have to do it, it's because we want to do it.
But that
30, that
30 now is, let's say, 20.
20
so,
years.
I mean, we have to keep working towards it. I'm pretty confident that most likely we receive a favorable funding view. The other two, we'll see, right?
Yeah. But if that one doesn't, then something's wrong, and we need to object loudly, because that is. But it's great news that at least part of it's going to be there.
And the work has to be complete by the end of
next fiscal year. So this is next year's work.
So it's huge. I mean, if we get approval for all of this, it's that's going to be a huge challenge to do it all and so on. Yes, Councilor Fisk, I'm sorry.
Just want to make a quick comment. Brad, quite excited about the 40%. Plus, I want to make remarks on our works department. We have a really well-trained works department. When it comes to water and sewer, they're all trained, highly trained, and very capable people. And it's so pleasing to me to have our community and our municipality to have a works department in workforces such as we have. And Brad, you need to be proud of that, and also the works department.
Yeah, but mention Adam Grant and Kevin Wiggle. They are our key supervisors on these
projects. They certainly are.
And they've done that for a number of years, and they're very, very good at it.
They are so.
And all the way down through the crews too. I mean, the crews.
Oh, the crews.
Yeah, only Kevin can tell you you're not gonna have no water for 14 hours with a big
That's
smile
right.
on your face.
Yeah.
And have you not get mad at him, so.
And if you wonder about that, just with the Brooklyn project that, on Markham Avenue, he's gone door to door and talked to everybody.
Yeah.
And it's going to be disruptive, but they've all got a smile on their face.
You know, they like him when they serve him cookies now and then.
Well, Danny, because he's moving so fast that he doesn't get his pick like mine.
I said to Kevin yesterday, I never noticed it before. I said, how can somebody in their mid-50s not have any gray hair at all?
Yeah.
See him next time.
Yeah. Only his hairdresser.
Yeah, that's right. Only his hairdresser.
Or any hair.
Or hair.
Yes, Guy to Waterman.
So this is the former gas tax?
No.
Wow, this is
so we
new
still
project.
Have the gas tax? Yeah.
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 That's great.
This is new money.
Anybody else have a question or point they'd like to make?
Question.
All in favor? It's unanimous, thank you. Anything under finance?
Nothing to report under finance.
Okay, thank you. Anything, Jennifer, you want to bring to Recreation, Councillor Frelick, do you have anything under recreation?
I'd like to ask Norm to come up if he could, just for a minute. Give us a summary of the Canada Day activities.
Do we have to do just Canada Day, or can
you
do
can do whatever you want?
So, you folks probably missed hearing me. So, if I could please just summarize some of the things we have done, and briefly, and some things we have upcoming. Our first attempt at a seasonal program brochure landed in folks' mailbox, and was done in house design wise by Dana. And just for an order of magnitude, that's about a $3,500 investment, and. We're hoping to expand that for the future to be more inclusive, and our next deadline for that for the September edition will be the 1st of August. So we're hoping that that document will grow and be even more useful. This month our pools are fully staffed, they're ready to go, and we're just barely staffed, and it's an ongoing challenge to staff our seasonal swimming pools, but we're good to go. Lessons start next Monday. A neat thing this year is through the Thrive program, the Department of, I don't know what they're called this week, Communities, Culture, and Heritage, or some such thing. All public swims, both pools are free this summer. So that's kind of a cool thing. Registration this week at the North Queens Aquatic Center. Last Friday, the 24th, we had a babysitting course in Caledonia, 7 young people. Was kind of cool because that was an express need in Richard's and Megan's discussions with young people. We have a blended bronze cross and medallion course going on right now at the Milton Pool. Only two, we thought we were going to have four, but it is what it is. At least we have more kids moving through the system. Our tattoo trip, which is on the 7th, Heather, still has some spots. So if you'd like to go see the tattoo, you can still do so. July 1st, we have a little bitty thing over at Queen's Place from 1 to 4. It includes the Halifax Circus, the Juggling Bubblers, the Wilder Beats, Razzmatazz, Princesses, Puppet Makers, Bouncy Tents, Cake. Yeah, I know you get that.
So is the cake about the same size as that table?
Roughly. Mayor Clark. And all kinds of fun. And have a bunch of actually young people, younger than me, helping this year, which is kind of cool. Councillor Fancy, you're going to help, aren't you, on Friday? So be a lot
of fun.
Is
that younger than you?
Yeah, be a lot of fun. And we have art classes throughout the month of July at both the Town Hall Arts and Cultural Center and the North Queens Hub. And on the 24th of July, we have the Family Beach Party at Somerville. And the good folks at HGS are my volunteers for that once again this year. And that, Mayor Clark, are some of the things we can do.
Thank you. Any questions at all? Yes, Deputy Mayor.
I just have a couple of questions, and they may sound silly, but I'm going to ask them. So this morning I went looking to find July 1st things because I needed it for publication elsewhere. I looked on the Queens Place website, and unless I'm blind, my opinion as an observer was that Queens Place is closed and there was nothing going on there. So unless there's something that I really missed from the observer point of view, Queens Place is closed because it's candidate, it's listed as a closed holiday, all of that. I then looked to the region's website, same thing, nothing jumped out to say candidate celebrations. So everybody doesn't get to listen. Did we do those brochures that we're distributing? The candidate ones?
We didn't do one specifically this.
The booklet replaced that.
Yeah, the booklet.
The booklet replaced the candidate.
Correct, because all the.
Because as counselor, I'm thinking, oh, maybe we're not doing anything for candidate. So you might want to figure out between now and Friday.
Can.
What you're gonna do about that.
Yep.
And my other question, in the booklet, for September, are we going to include like all the recreational properties we have in Queens? The parks and municipal and.
Excellent, excellent idea, yeah, that's been noted.
And, but the lineup sounds wonderful, but we really need to, especially changing up that Queens Place website, that Queens area.
Counselor Inglis.
For those who didn't get their fireworks fix, Peter, you'll be having them behind the fire hall.
Yeah, I just gotta mention that.
Friday night.
We're having a candidate at Calder, at the exhibition grounds. It starts out with a pancake strawberry brunch.
Friday, I've probably been there.
Always good. And then the different events for kids, especially during the day, and then the fireworks in the evening. So anybody want fireworks, go to Calder on Friday night.
You had me a pancake.
I'll be doing the sausage with, eating sausage with the pancake.
I noticed you checked to make sure the certain person wasn't in the, still in the gallery. And also there's Milton celebrations too. Councilor Fancy, do you want to chat about those, talk about those tonight?
Well, I haven't actually heard, except for I talked to them, I know they're going on. I don't know the makeup of it, but they always have that, I think it's 10 to 12, I think.
I think it's 11 to 1-ish. They have hot dogs.
Yeah, they always have hot dogs. They always go down by the Tupper's Park, and I expect it's going to be there. And they always have games over at the hall for the kids. So anybody wants to come, it's going to be there.
Any other questions of Norm or whatever on recreation? It's a great lineup. Thank you, Norman.
Thank you, Mayor Clark.
Thank you, Councilor Frederick. I think that, and we could probably ask Councilor Frederick to leave, but maybe we'll just dispense on it this time. I think a motion from Council to the chairs of the Privateer Day celebrations, thanking them, would be in order. I mean, it was really was spectacular, and to see the crowds that we had from noon on Friday right through until 10 o'clock on Sunday. Mm. And it was stupendous, and everybody's still abuzz with the success of the celebration. So I think a motion from council, even though the deputy mayor will reprimand me because
it's
not
in it.
It's a friendly
one. Okay.
I'll make it.
Okay.
I so move that the Region of Queens salutes the outstanding efforts of the chairs of the Privateer Day Festival Committee and those wonderful efforts of the volunteers that contributed to the outstanding weekend.
And give special recognition
to
the multicultural
events yep. that were joined and partnered on Sunday.
Underneath
the
Social
Multicultural
Society.
Took two of them to say
it.
Yeah.
Okay,
so.
Do you have that, Christine?
I'm just the puppet.
We'll refine it from the
recording.
Yeah. Is there a seconder? Councilor Inglis.
Can I
we've
speak?
Got two, we've got a third or two in there. So.
Oh, I'm going to speak.
Yes.
I said to Councillor Frolic this morning how great it was, and I want to make a remark that I could never, ever say before. Maybe it's a sign of positive feelings in Queens. I didn't hear anybody complain.
Yeah,
I never heard a word about, oh, I don't like this music, oh, that sausage cuts too much, oh, it's too hot for the parade. All I saw were smiling faces, and that's a real testament to the committee. And as this group eases out, I hope that they feel rewarded. Yeah, it's not a fast ease, is it? hope they feel rewarded for the time they've spent doing it.
Done an exceptional job. Yes, Deputy.
And also, if we could have had a picture snapshot of the last 6-7 years, I was just astounded when I went in on Saturday to see so many vendors from so many places. And it was outstanding. It's a type of festival that often places have paid festival coordinators to pull off. I mean, when you look at the whole thing. My only comment is, and I've always said this before, I really wish the Region of Queens would find the money to buy one of those great big tents that we could rent off to commercial groups that want to do private things, to other festivals, to weddings, and train our staff to put it up. Someone asked about it, and what the always excuse had always been was that we didn't have a place to store it. But if we had one of those, it would make it so much better for festivals. Plus, we'd make money on it for commercial weddings in the park, for weddings in the park. And when we look at the park, we talk about infrastructure and having to build things. If we owned one of those tents, we wouldn't have to build buildings. People would have weddings down there in that park. It's becoming so beautiful with the shrubs and the trees. And anyway, that's my little slip. However,
so whoever's here in these chairs,
yeah,
come November can look at it as they move forward at budget time. Yes, Councilor Frelick.
I just wanted to say thank you for the comments, but it's really interesting to note that we've got emails from across the province wanting to know what our formula is, and they wanted the list of vendors, and especially with the multicultural. With the loss of the multicultural in Halifax, everybody's kind of looking at that now. So there's a real opportunity to build that part of the festival and either have it always as part of it or to take it off on its own, because Halifax not doing it and ran into real problems. Truro has emailed us 3 times wanting information, and we're holding on to it. But real great potential, and the crowds, I mean, just thousands of people at all times. It was the first year we had a lineup for the tent when we opened at 7 o'clock. We usually played to an empty tent, and they were lined up down the street for that. Friday afternoon, as you saw, full tent the entire time. So the car show, I can't remember how many. I've never seen that many people and cars, and there wasn't a time when there was nothing happening in the park. So real great potential to go to the next level, and not sure if a tent's the next level, but it was a great partnership. So
yes, Councilor McLeod.
When I attended the mass choir in the tent on Sunday morning at 11, which was spectacular, the conductor started out by expressing his compliments, I guess, about Liverpool and about the Mersey River. He said he arrived late on Saturday night and couldn't see the view, but when he got up Sunday morning and came to the park, he said, "You have an awesome gem. It's just the most beautiful scenery he has ever seen in a long time." And that's really nice to hear from someone from away.
I was talking to Mark Fiore as we were waiting for the reviewing stand for the parade, and I commented on the waterfront and how nice it is. And he said, "Wouldn't Bridgewater love to have something like
yeah.
this?"
Yeah.
Any community.
Absolutely.
Any other comments? We've got a motion on the floor. Councillor Fisk?
Just one comment. I was quite impressed with the parade this year with the bands that were included in the, there was three or four bands, am I not, which really makes a parade, really adds to the parade. It was just fantastic.
They've almost been part of the parade there.
Yep.
The standards are wonderful. Mm-hmm.
And very, very good all the way around.
Just a comment, and it ties into the fire departments, and it's perhaps not germane to the motion, but you may have noticed that there was only one RCMP officer on parade, and that we had on our float, we had Brian Hatt, the EMO coordinator, but no firemen. But I went to the farmer's breakfast Saturday morning and was chatting to Steve Parnell, and the firemen had been out all night. The police had been out all night from midnight through until half past six in the morning.
There you go.
The SMP were catching up on their sleep. Some of the people who were serving breakfast and working on that project had been up all night and were still pitching in and doing that. So we've got a great community. It's people volunteer and do these things. Okay, any more discussion on Privateer Days? It's a significant success. You're really out of order, Mr. Cox, but I suppose, given the nature of the discussion, we can bend a little.
Well, just one very important point, I think, before you vote on the motion. When the Masked Choir director was getting to the end of his show, he asked how many people in attendance were from outside of this county. And over 50% of the people,
awesome.
Of over 300, I counted about 320 people at that stage, but there were more outside. So this certainly shows that this on the cultural addition has certainly brought more people from outside our county. And I think that the additional advertising and the promotion of that particular partnership really adds to the group, and I think that it's important that be noted in your report and vote on the motion.
Thank you. The along those same lines, I was in Bob and the Boys just before Privateer Days, and they commented that Privateer Days coming up, we're going to have a busy weekend. So we talk about the ripple effect with volunteers, but the ripple effect from something like this spreads. I mean, to Bridgewater and so on. People coming through, you know, stop at Bob and the Boys on their way to Liverpool. So, it, yes.
One last thing about the, they talked about the number of people. There were people there that we'd never ever seen before in every tent. And the multicultural festival last year was in La Have, and they might have had 500 people. And so when I talked to Anne about it, asking, you know, the numbers, and she said it was, you know, sixfold. I mean, thousands of people went through that tent and through the bazaar part where they were serving food. And, you know, the wedding, and we had 100 geocachers come in. 75% of those had never been to Liverpool before. They're all planning to come back. Car show people, all unique. So there's so many aspects of it that are all unique visits within. That's how we get the numbers. So, it's quite amazing. So now to try to capture that into some sort of form is a challenge, because.
And the car show itself, I'm not a car enthusiast, but there's a real opportunity there. You could almost take that almost to Queen's Place and blow it up into a big event.
There is a plan for one at the end of summer.
Yeah,
a
and
huge
we've got
one.
And David Oikle, Alan Oikle, one of the leading car restorers, certainly in the Maritime, probably further afield than that. And he's been featured in American magazines. I've seen the articles.
They're taking over Privateer Park. It's going to be completely filled
great.
With cars. The end
great.
Of August?
August, yeah.
It's
a
memorial.
It's a tribute.
Memorial
car
show.
Yeah, that's right, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, you ready now for the motion? I've been a little lax on the rules here. Okay, all in favor? It's unanimous, thank you. That brings us to planning item 13.1, Councillor McLeod.
Yes, and I think Colin is with us.
Yeah.
Mike, Colin?
Mike,
yes, please. Mike is not here this morning. I make the recommendation that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality recommends that a former section of Highway 103 in Port Jolly, as shown on Schedule A, be renamed to Maple Hill Drive, and that the Nova Scotia Department of Transportation and Infrastructure Renewal make appropriate changes to reflect this road name, including the installation of new signage.
Is there a second? Councillor Fitz. Councillor Frederick, sorry. Do you have anything to add to this, Colin? Can you tell us a bit more about it?
Well, it used to be part of the 103,
but then due to the realignment of that highway, it no longer became part of the 103, and it just became its own kind of section of unnamed road. So it's been like that for about a year now, I think. And so the Department of Transportation put the responsibility on the Region of Queens to decide upon a name, and Darlene Norman took a petition out. Our procedure is to get a petition signed by the local residents to come up with some names. So Darlene took the, our Councillor Norman took the petition out to the residents of that area, and they decided upon, they had three choices of names that they put down, and we decided that Maple Hill Drive, their first choice, was the name that we were going to choose. And that's the name we're going to go with, because it doesn't create any conflicts with any names, with any current names within the Region of Queens.
Councillor Waterman. Now that, like, if the name does change, so the people that live there will have to change the civic number?
Yes, there will be two civic, there will be a couple of civic address changes due to this road name.
Deputy Van Nolen.
So, as Colin stated, once he contacted me, rather than do the whole community of Port Jolly, because it's really only John Joyce that lives there and Danielle, and I did say to them that the, you know, the Region of Queens does have a, if we're naming our own road, to do a veteran name. The Robertsons, anything to do with the word Robertson was ruled out. Because it's too close, like Robertson's Loop branches off of that road. So in answer to your question, you can't name something Robertson anything when there's a Robertson's Loop that goes off.
Yeah, it creates too much of a conflict.
Yeah.
You can't have any.
So they chose Maple Hill. Their hill is surrounded by maple trees. And I just, so that's how that, that's why it's not Robertson's Hill.
Well, it'll still be Robertson's Hill to me.
Everyone will call it Robertson's Hill anyway. But.
Any further discussion?
Just one other point of interest.
Yeah.
I don't know how long it takes to change. John and Joyce said they are getting a lot of campers and a lot of cars going down their road to where it dead ends and then having this big trouble to pull around. Anyone with a local, with a GPS, if you're going to Kedgy Seaside, your GPS takes you to that
does
road.
It?
Yes.
So all these big trailers and buses that are going to Kedgy Seaside, they turn, and then the little GPS says, turn left now.
They turn down this.
And they turn left down
yeah.
there, and it's a big trouble to get turned around
yeah,
at
not,
the end of that
yeah.
dead end, because
yeah.
it's just dead ends like this.
Well, it's not like a big circle or anything. Yeah.
So I'm trying to get a whole parts to to put another sign prior to the road with a big arrow on it, but
yeah.
to try to get Parks Canada
so
to do something. And I don't know how to, who changes the global positioning? Who
yeah, I don't know
that?
How long
Google.
That takes to update.
Google.
No, it's not Rich. Can Richard make a
no,
note?
He must
yeah,
no,
it's
with procedures to,
can you,
to
okay,
request
so
changes. It takes a long time.
It takes a long time.
Yeah.
It won't be done by summer. So it's going to be a trouble for a lot of people.
All we do is change our stuff, and also I'll change the provincial mapping system to reflect our changes, but that's as far as we go.
Yeah, they're getting, a couple of weeks ago, they were getting 5 or 6 a day, and that was in the summer.
Yeah.
And they're big vehicles,
wouldn't
big campers.
TIR put a sign up, dead end, or?
Yeah.
But even that, but the road, St. Catharines River has a dead end sign on it, where Kedgy Seaside is. I mean, that says dead end.
When the lady that lives inside my car tells me where to go, I listen to her.
But they listen to her.
But so the only thing is, going to have to park Canada. Are going to have to put a sign up.
Try right off the end of the cliff.
Pointing an arrow.
Or someone, or TIO, or someone. But
that has nothing to do with
it. It's an awful shame to get down. I can barely back up my car in something
yeah.
like that to get down there with a.
Yeah.
Yeah, with
the okay, the point's made. So,
anyway,
thank you.
That's it.
Does somebody else want to get in on this?
I was just going to make a suggestion. I don't know if those folks stop into our visitor information center or not, but those people should know that as well, in case there are questions about how do you get to Kedgy or Seaside.
Yeah.
They should know that at our VS
parts of paper brochures.
Okay, any other points anybody want to raise on this? If not, I can take the question. All in favor? It's unanimous. Thank you. Queen's Place and Mirror Center, Councillor Fancy, do you have anything beyond what's happening there on July 1st? Thank you, Colin.
Thank you.
And of course, the Beach Boys.
Beach Boys.
Yeah.
Oh,
when's that?
When's that? I wonder if he'll get anybody for that.
I don't know.
That's Thursday, 7 o'clock.
Yes, it is.
So, traffic congestion starts about 5 o'clock. Yes, Councilor McLeod?
I have a suggestion. I don't know whether it's done in the past, but I know once the event is finished, over at the lights by Tim Hortons, those lights are still in their usual mode of, you know, changing. And I wonder if it's an could we have the RCMP or someone over there at that time once the concert's over, because there's an awful backup of traffic because those lights are working on their regular timing schedule.
The CA has made note of that, and we'll raise it with them.
Plus, people don't know they can go left out of Queens Place towards Brooklyn to get out of the 103.
Yeah. Oh, yes, yes.
Everybody's coming into town, and if they just turn left, they could be out on the highway.
We're going to have it just
two minutes.
Mayor Clark, did you have two Liverpool back to 103?
I've got tickets. Were you still looking for tickets, Councilor? Okay, so that's the next big happening. Nothing else on Queens Place Mirror Center?
No.
Okay. We've got a number of reports. Does anybody have any issues they'd like to raise with the reports?
Not an issue, but can I make a comment?
Yes.
I don't know what the other councillors, but I am often lambasted by people who don't want to pay dog taxes because they say it's their dog, blah, blah, blah. But if you look at the report, you'll notice that Kellyanne, our constable's duties, included 32 dog issue things plus one dog bite, and her other issues only took up 31. So when people don't want to pay their dog taxes, over half of her responsibilities since her last report were dog related. So that's why people have dog taxes.
Well, I noticed too on that report that there were 736 tags sold. And I suspect that it's probably time that we look at a census, a dog census again. I know when I was mayor previously, the number was probably three or four times that. And we had someone, I think, on a piecework basis to go around and register dogs, and but okay, enough on that. Any other points on it? I think you have to wait till afterwards, Mr. Milton. Any other comments on the reports? If not, we're going into item 16.